grace to you, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, Jesus declares to this woman, "Woman, you have a great faith." What a compliment. Now, there were thousands of people, both named and unnamed, that appear in Scripture, but there are only a few in which Jesus commended their faith. Spurgeon, remarking on this passage, he said, "Our Lord had a very quick eye for spying faith." He said, "The Lord Jesus was charmed with this fair jewel of this woman's faith. And watching it and delighting in it, he resolved to turn it round and set it in other lights, that the various facets of this priceless diamond might even one flash its brilliance and delight in his soul." Imagine this woman as a diamond and the light reflecting from a multitude of directions. In this passage, Jesus held up the woman's faith. First, in light of kind of a silence, but then in also what appeared to be a rebuff. But yet for the church down through the ages, it's intended to remain in that how beautiful her feet were in terms of her stance, her faith. This is a story of faith that delighted Jesus. It can be a great help of any person who does not yet have this faith in Christ, but it's also a great help to the believer who struggles with his or her faith in difficult circumstances. This is a beautiful encounter from the beginning to the end. In the context, it was divinely arranged. Last week, we looked at that of Jesus in which he had a clash, a huge clash with the religious leaders over rituals. And they being so detailed of how you could defile yourself, and they were concerned about the outside. It was the externals to them. But Jesus focused on, it's within that makes one unclean. Now, this encounter that had occurred being over, Jesus withdrew. He was going to step away from the crowd. And so he purposefully stepped out of the land of Israel and he went into Gentile territory, which, again, this would be off limits to those who had been the religious leaders. They could be unclean by going into this territory. So Jesus withdrew and entered into a relationship, a conversation with an unclean Syrophoenician woman. And what's interesting here, this one who would be a Gentile, who was a Canaanite, her faith dramatically contrasts that of the scribes and Pharisees that we looked at in the previous portion of Scripture. But she even outshines the disciples and their limited understanding. Her faith becomes a beautiful prophecy of the gospel. And so what we will see is that Jesus is holding up this jewel to the light. It allows all of us to see. So we have Jesus left that place, went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Gentile, a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. The trip that Jesus made was a short trip, about 20 miles into the Gentile territory. It was a border to that of Galilee. It wasn't uncommon that Jesus' reputation, his fame, went before him, and this included in the Gentile territory. So here he is sought out by this Syrophoenician woman. Now there's a parallel in Matthew to this account. And it's in Matthew that she is identified as a Canaanite woman, which means that she was a descendant of the ancient race that Israel was supposed to have exterminated when they entered into the promised land. The Canaanites were to be utterly destroyed. It didn't happen. But it's also identified that she's a Greek, that she had been Hellenized. She had been influenced by the Greek culture. She spoke the Greek language. And of course, being what she was in terms of a Gentile, she was despised by the religious establishment. She was considered unclean, a dog, if you will, and a female one at that. So the establishment scandalized her, that if any rabbi would have a conversation with her, they were unclean. Now, for a time, a short time, I think they wised up, but there was a strict sect called the Bruised and Bleeding Pharisees. And the reason they were called that, because every time they saw a woman, they covered their eyes. Well, when you cover your eyes and they keep moving, they bumped into whatever happened to be in front of them. Now, these bruises and these bumps to them were viewed as pious marks, patting themselves on the back. Oh, I get it. You know, but it was because, well, they did, you know, they put their hand over their eyes, could not see, ran into stuff. Well, they thought that that was showing piety. Now, the thing is, Jesus does have dealings with this woman, and it gets notorious press from the establishment. Can you believe that? The establishment giving notorious press to someone? The barrier here was so great, and it went both ways. Now, Greek women were socially savaged by their own pagan culture. It was not a good environment to be a woman, which made this woman's approach to Jesus even more remarkable. But we need to realize she had a great need. Her daughter, as it says, was afflicted with a demon. We don't know what all the afflictions were, but nonetheless, her heart's concern for her daughter, what would she do? She was desperate. She was a desperate mom. She was at the end of her wits. And she heard Jesus was in the territory. And she comes with such a belief that Jesus was her only hope. She had come to the end of all remedies. She believed that he could and that he would heal her daughter. And so she, this woman, came in faith, and Jesus knew it. And Jesus is drawing out this remarkable faith. The first thing we see in her is she has a persistent faith. Mark tells us that she came and fell at his feet, and that she begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. And the tense in the word beg, it's not just begged once. She kept begging and begging and begging. She was not going to walk away without receiving the help. Matthew dramatizes it by saying, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. She wasn't just persistent, she was noisy. And Jesus, you know, knowing in terms of identifying Jesus as a Messiah, calling him the Son of David, she kept saying, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, knowing the heart of Jesus, as we do, if we think about what his response was, the thing is, it comes off as if he's absolutely indifferent. The opposite of love is not hatred, but indifference. Indifference says, I care nothing about what happens to you. And that's what Jesus appeared to be communicating to this woman, was indifference. Luther said it this way. He said, now he is as silent as a stone. And he was. Can you imagine someone pleading at your feet with cold silence? Nothing. But the thing is, Jesus was not being indifferent. Disciples misunderstood that. If you remember when the disciples were in the storm in the boat and he's sleeping, they take him as he doesn't care. Well, of course he cared. He was in arm's reach of helping and bringing relief. In this case, Jesus' silence was really the silence of love. Because out of this, he will elevate the woman's awareness of her own faith and holding it up to we, the church, thousands of years later. The woman wasn't silenced by Jesus' silence. The disciples have a compassionless annoyance. They say, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." I mean, if we picked out each of the disciples, you know, John being kind of the impatient kind of disciple, or Peter having a scowl, and each one having their attitude. I mean, she's getting a whole message of rejection. But what is it? We've got a mom here who cares about her daughter. There's a problem here, and she remembered what she knew about the Lord, and she persisted. She persisted even when Jesus seems to reject her with words. He said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." First silence, and then that's his response. But she comes back, "Lord, help me, help me, help me." She didn't know it at the time, but Jesus Christ, the creator, sustainer, and the goal of the universe was completely taken with her great faith. I believe that in his tone, it brought a communication that was a radical change, and that Jesus actually was encouraging her in it, saying, "First, let the children eat all they want, for it is not right to take children's bread and toss it to their dogs." Now, the softening tone of Jesus comes also in the word used for dogs. There are different words for dogs. This one is the Greek word referring to a household dog, not one of the scavenger wild dogs of the street. So, house pets, where do they go when there's food being eaten, especially with children? What ends up off the table? Sometimes on purpose, sometimes accidentally, but the pets that I've known are living it up, eating the crumbs, eating the stuff, and I can remember my own kids when they, even in the high chair, reaching out some good morsel of food and feeding it to the dog. And the dog was happy as all get out. The word is of a house pet, waiting for anything to fall or it's slipping under the table. And the woman senses this. And she says, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. They're better than vacuum cleaners." Her argument to Jesus, bringing it back, "Yes, I am a little dog, so I get some of the children's crumbs of the children of Israel." Luther said, "She catches Christ with his own words." He wanted her to, in a way, trap him. It brings out the persistence of her faith. Jesus commends her. She's not an Israelite, but you have the mercy and the grace of God being shown. She is thankful that she's able to take from the table the crumbs. It's enough. What is Jesus saying in Matthew 11? He says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force." But had he not recognized in others the faith that he sees in this woman? The kingdom of heaven is for those who are persistent, who are willing to spend time and energy to pursue spiritual things. People that are persistent receive the blessing. There were the paralytic's friends. Who would they do? They carried him through the crowd, went up on the roof, picked away the roof, lowered him to Jesus' feet, and Jesus healed him. There is the account of the persistent faith of the woman who kept returning to the judge, pleading her case. And the judge saying, "Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming." Jesus desires this kind of persistent faith. He celebrates hungry faith. He celebrates desperate faith. He celebrates a violent faith, one who persists. Do we, do I, do you persistently and passionately pray for anything? The Lord wants every follower to have a persistent prayer. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective, James 5:16. The woman's faith was great because it was persistent. It was also great because there was humility. It wasn't the persistence of the woman that earned Christ's ear. She didn't earn it. Her persistence demonstrated that she had faith. And our Lord wanted us to see the works of which resulted from the authentic faith. From the context of this passage, she knew that she was a dog. She knew there was no merit in her that would win Christ's help. She was a Gentile, not a child of the household. So she depended upon God's goodness in Christ, not of her own. It was all grace. It's amazing grace. These with a hungry heart and a broken spirit are the favorites of God. David said in Psalm 51, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, he will not despise." And Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Now, one final thing about the woman's faith that was great. She took Christ at his word. "Lord, if you say I'm a little dog, I am. But that means I have a master, and that is you. It means I am a humble part of the household, and that I can claim the crumbs." Have we ever thought of it that way? That we are also, that he has made us part of his family, though we don't deserve it. And here's the fulfillment of the prophetic word here. Matthew 8:11-12. "I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take the places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." The Hebrew writer said, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe and that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." She believed that God is, and she earnestly sought him, and she pleased him. Her faith was humble. "Nothing in my hand I bring, solely to the cross I cling." It was a faith that believed in his word. It was faith that persisted, and the result was Christ's healing power. Mark's gospel says, "For such reply you may go, the demon has left your daughter." Her daughter was completely restored. Can you imagine the celebration when she returned to her daughter in Tyre that evening with her daughter calm and resting? What a relief. And then there's Christ's eternal commendation. His delight, he says, "Woman, you have great faith." This woman came to Jesus on the other side of the cross. We've got the ultimate revelation. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Now, like this woman, you may not have had all the advantages of being raised in a household of faith. But then again, maybe you have. But like her, the word has come to you that Christ can meet your needs. He can heal your heart. So what is required? One, believe. Second, approach humbly. "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." And third, come to him. Come to him, just as the woman did. Jesus is saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." And what did he say? "And I will give you rest." So it was for the woman. And so is the offer for you and I. He says, "Come, come, and receive the blessing in being in relationship with him." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.